Maybe just before we get into it with the Transportation Department, there were a couple of subsequents to deal with. One was related to the Windspear. Councillor McKean is your name. Please make that subsequent motion.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And it will be made and postponed, I think, is
yep.
procedure.
For Same this. As so, we did on the coronation.
Right. So I will move that administration provide for council's consideration the principles for a staged funding agreement with the Francis Windspear Center for Music based upon the approved capital profile Windspear Facility Expansion Project 15-21-3300. The principles to include implications related to confirmation of funding from other orders of government and a community fundraising strategy and results.
Yes. Second.
Councillor Caterina seconds that one. Okay, so that's put. It's premature to vote on that until we vote on the package. So, like we did for the other one, if
postponed.
Councillor Knack postpones, moves to postpone until after we vote on that item. We need a seconder. Seconder, Councillor Nicol. Okay, so to postpone that until after the Windspear Capital vote, please vote and display the vote. That's carried. And Councillor Essinger, you have pretty much the same motion to do on the Tulsa Rural Science.
Yes, do you want to just the subsequent or the whole
thing? You've already moved the first one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just the subsequent.
Just if we could have the confirmation of the first one, the wording's a little bit different.
Yeah, no, read in the wording, it's slightly different. So.
Okay, this was moved by me and seconded by Councillor Walters that the capital profile TELUS World of Science 15-21-6600 be added and funded in the amount of $40 million, with $10 million from funding from pay-as-you-go, $20 million from other orders of government, and $8 million in funding from other partners subject to a funding agreement with the city. The subsequent is that administration provide for council's consideration the principles for a funding agreement with the TELUS World of Science based upon the approved capital profile TELUS World of Science 15-21-6600. The principles to include implications related to confirmation of funding from other orders of governments and a community fundraising strategy and results.
Councillor Essinger, can I just confirm that you said $12 million from pay-as-you-go?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and Councillor Walters seconded that. Now we'll need a motion again to postpone that until after the... Thank you. Yeah. Seconded by Councillor Oshry, moved by Councillor Knack to deal with that subsequent to the TELUS World of Science motion. Please vote to postpone and display the vote. And that is carried. We have... And you'll find them on your desk here, updated summary of agenda changes. They're replacement pages here that we'll need to add to the agenda. It's probably not a bad idea to do that. I'm not sure if any of these affect transportation since we're asking questions. I think they're arising from things we've already talked about, but we might as well deal with that. Somebody want to move the replacement pages here?
I'll move that.
Second.
Who moved it?
Oshry.
Councillor Oshry? Okay. You were like a ventriloquist down there. I couldn't even see your lips moving. Amazing. And seconded by Councillor Logan?
Yeah.
Okay, so to add these replacements pages and the addition, the urban planning and environment profile number, which one is that? RVA connective infrastructure. Right, that's the clarification on the timelines on that one. Okay, please vote on adding those to our book and display the vote. And that is carried. And I have one more. Pursuant to a discussion I had with, I'll yield the chair to Councillor Essinger for this.
I have the chair.
Okay, thank you. Pursuant to a discussion I had with Councillor Rosen. I don't know why that's happening to me today. It's nothing against you guys, but I think they'd make excellent counselors. No. So this is a motion to get some more information from administration prior to our debates, which will start on Monday. And the motion is the administration provide options for council's consideration that would implement tax increases to pay for the debt servicing of projects that are identified to be financed through debt in in the 2015 to 2018 capital budgets in even increments over the four-year period, and further identify the resulting tax revenue not required in the year it is raised for debt servicing that could be applied to pay as you go. So I need a seconder for that.
Second. Can you explain a little bit?
Yes, I'd be happy to speak to this. Council did this last time, and basically the premise is that because you actually do the construction and draw the debt in years 16 and 17, and especially 17 and 18, we can commit to a whole bunch of decisions that trigger borrowing that might lead to a 0.1% increase this year, a 0.3% increase next year, and then all of a sudden you get whacked with a 0.7 and maybe a 0.6 on the tail end. Just when things are starting to come online, you're getting your operating cost of capital. And so council last time elected to blend, to reduce the rate shock, to blend the impact of those across the four budgets evenly, which does mean this one goes a little higher, but it means that the future ones are a little bit lower. So you take it evenly, and that smooths out your tax increase. And in the meantime, what it does is it does create some pay-as-you-go that creates some room to fund, my guess would be, more or less the things that have been moved up to this point. Otherwise, we will not have the resources to do it. So I wanted Min to do the calculation and let us know what the number would be. And then there's some, so there would be the things that they've recommended for tax-supported debt that would generate a bit of pay-as-you-go if we did this term again. And then this is also not kicking the can down the road to the next council's first budget, because you get walloped with that otherwise. We would, this, our last budget last year would have probably been 0.6, 0.7 higher if the previous council had done that.
Approximately, yes.
So this is about moving it forward a little bit, which creates some pay as you go as well for infrastructure. So you're taking it for infrastructure. So I'd ask admin to do the numbers on that, and then anything else that gets added as pay or as tax supported debt, you know, like your roads motion, Councillor Sohi, that would similarly generate a little bit of room. If we took this approach. And we could go partway, we could do it halfway, we could do it the whole thing. I think if admin brings us those numbers, then it creates some blending options for council to consider prior to the operating budget. I want us to have that option to consider, otherwise there's just no way we're going to fund these other small projects that have come up. So it's an option.
So we have a motion on the floor?
And it'll just direct admin to bring us some analysis for Monday.
So please vote, and display the vote, and that is carried.
And I am out of rabbits and out of hats after that, so.
So
okay, I will take back the chair then, being hatless and rabbitless now. The, sorry, I just got a stack of stuff from the clerks here I'm working through. All right, I think we're ready to start asking questions of our final department here, which is the Transportation Department. Councillor Katerine is up first. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mayor, I've...
Ms. Whip?
Sorry, did you have supplemental information?
Sorry.
We don't have a presentation. We just have a bit of an overview of the contents of the capital budget. If Council would like to receive that, or in the interest of time, if you'd like to proceed, we're okay with that, too.
Well, I don't think anyone else presented, but yours has got an awful lot of stuff in it. If you have some information that you think would be valuable for us, unless I get an objection from
Well, they also provided you with two reports.
And so they'd really be speaking
so
to the
they
two
would
reports
reference that a little bit as well.
Okay.
It's not speaking to reports. We're going to give you a bit of a brief overview, no presentation, just a bit of a dialogue over what's in the capital budget. But if you
non-presentation. No. Okay, go ahead.
So we're pleased to speak to you on today's capital budget. We have our branch managers and directors here with the department. The capital budget before you from transportation represents a strong and increased focus on asset renewal, along with significant investment in public transportation. Just under 60% of the city's entire proposed capital budget supports transportation and public transit. It's a significant investment. Over the next 4 years, the city has planned investments in road renewal, $600 million allocated to neighborhoods, and $220 million to arterial roads. With this investment, we're projecting an improvement in the condition of the arterial roads, as well as continued improvements in the city's neighborhoods. On the arterial front, our target is to have less than 10% of the network in need of rehabilitation by 2019. Today, 16% of our arterials are in need of rehabilitation, and we're projecting that number to drop to 12% by the end of this capital budget cycle. This investment will impact our ability to move goods and services with greater efficiency and improve our business satisfaction with the state of the transportation system. On the residential neighborhoods, our long-term targets have no neighborhoods in a D or F condition. Today, 53% of our neighborhoods are in good or very good, and by the end of this capital budget cycle, we're projecting that number will be 63%, a 10% increase. In this, the city's largest capital investment is for the Valley Line LRT, $800 million in this budget cycle and another $800 million in the next budget cycle. On opening day, we're projecting an initial ridership of 30,000 people, growing to 44,000 riders per day over that over time. We project this investment will translate to a 3% system-wide increase in transit ridership and an increase of between 10 and 20% in the journey-to-work mode split along the Valley Line. Other transit improvements in this capital budget include the Smart Fare project, funded through Green Trip and with our regional partners. And once Smart Fare is in place, we're anticipating a further 3% increase in ridership that comes with increased flexibility and usability of electronic payments. On the active modes front, we're recommending a $4.4 million investment for the 83rd Avenue bike lane. Our focus on bicycle infrastructure, this capital budget is centered around high-quality infrastructure in bicycle-dense areas of the city. This will be the first of its kind in the city of Edmonton. We believe it will result in a significant increase in safe bicycle use. In addition to the profiles in front of you, the department has two reports flowing from the Transportation Committee that you'll want to discuss regarding the future propulsion technology for transit and its impact in the Westwood Garage. And with that, the department is pleased to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, I will start Councillor Katerina's time over. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you again, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Rosen, on page 252, the Westwood Transit garage replacement, that's debt, right?
Yes.
That's debt, okay. Mr. Stolte, the amount needed for the other items is $5.13 million?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. If Ms. Rosen, $5.13 million were added to the 181, what significant difference would that make to our...
To your debt servicing?
Yeah.
Not a tremendous amount?
Not a tremendous amount. Okay, thank you for that. And the breakdown of that 5.13 would be for the for-profit daycare.
That's correct.
A little different than the one from the Wind Spear that was trying to break even.
That's correct.
It's for nutritional concession area.
That's correct. That will okay. Supplement onto the daycare to be able to use as well.
As well. Okay, so that would be a profit center as well there too. The access for employees is already in the original scope?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And what other...
And there was the credit union.
And the credit union would be a for-profit.
That's correct.
They would lease space and actually provide us some monies in that. So Ms. Rosen, again, $5 million to 181 is not very significant.
$300,000 a year.
Okay, so it's not very significant. So I'd like to move, Mr. Mayor, at this point.
Yeah.
I'd like to increase profile for Westwood Transit Garage Replacement 1266-1413 by the amount of $5.13 million funded by debt.
Second.
I think Councillor Sohi was second. Oh.
Councillor Sohi.
It's okay. Okay.
You're yielding. Your Councillor Sohi is yielding the seconding to Councillor. Okay. You guys have to arm wrestle for it now.
Make a decision. Who wants to do this?
Councillor Sohi it is. Okay.
Okay. A Sohi. I actually got A Sohi.
Okay. Is that it, Councillor?
That's all I need. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Sohi.
Thank you, Mr. Stolte. You look like Santa Claus, so you are in a giving mood. Let me start with you. There are two packages for operating, for the operation of. One is the peak hour service, one is the scheduling adherence service. In order to implement them, we need some buses, which relates to capital.
Yes, sir.
What I understand that what you have done due to scheduling changes you made or the way you deploy your routes, that you're able to free enough buses for the implementation of the peak hour service without us putting any money into the capital?
We haven't implemented it yet. We're just working with IT to finalize it. We'll do a test trial by March. We're hoping to free up the minimum of 25 buses, of which 16 we could use for the new peak service.
So are you comfortable that we don't put money into buying new buses for the peak hour service?
Yes, I think it's a compliment to the staff to be able to do that.
Thank you. Thank you for that. On the scheduling adherence, if the smart bus funding is approved, over the next 18 months and 2 years, you'll be able to implement that, and through that, monitor the route performance and deployment of buses, possibly free up more buses.
I'm looking forward to that, yes.
And at that time, we can look at some of the capacity issues without impacting the capital.
Yes.
Okay, good. So I think that is clear for our discussion at the capital, at the operating budget. On the capital now, the real capital, there are two projects that I wanted to bring to table for discussion. One was the 50th Street, and the other one is the White Mud expansion from 66 to 34. In answers to my question, you're suggesting that we don't do anything with the 50th Street until the LRT construction is completed, which I understand, because you don't want to have too much construction in one quadrant and people need to move around.
Correct. 50th Street will be an alternate detour route while the LRT is being constructed, so we want to minimize whatever we have to do on 50th right. Street.
But as part of the funding profiles, you have a capital profile on page 334 for the rehab of 50th Street overpass over Sherwood Park Freeway, right? If you're going to do that, then you're going to cause traffic issues.
Correct. There would be overlap, which we were intending to try and minimize depending on the timing. Because the LRT is a P3, we don't know the exact timing of the sections.
But wouldn't it be better to better coordinate 50th Street expansion in the next capital budget and the rehab of this overpass in the next capital budget and possibly the CPR, the railway crossing? Wouldn't that be better after all the LRT construction is done?
Correct, but this specific profile doesn't speak to expansion. It was just a reconstruction.
But in the meantime, if there's enough money, I understand if there's about $3 million allocated for this rehab, you can extend the life of that bridge by 5 to 10 years.
Correct. That would give us an interim solution to maintain the structural integrity of the bridge.
Okay. Well, if we do that, that frees up about $22 million, and I'm going to have some conversation with Council Nickel, and this is for us, not for you, and he's prepared to amend my original motion not to to borrow money for White Mud, and instead use this $22 million for the $33 million that is needed. But basically, it frees up $22 million if we make that decision. Whether we borrow for that project, whether we allocate this money for that project, we can discuss that. But I think coordination of 50th Street and the overpass and doing it after the LRT construction is done makes more sense in my mind. Doesn't it?
Yes, but even with the interim solution, we will still have to carry out some work, which would take one season, and we would try and do that as quickly as possible.
Because otherwise, I really don't know why you want to do 50th Street Bridge, because that's the major throughway for Southeast to get to downtown or to Northeast.
The reasoning for putting it forward was just because of the condition of it and the intent to maintain the safety of the roadway and the structural.
So I'll move something. I'll make a motion. I'm running out of time, but I'll make that motion maybe in the second round.
Yeah, you can loop back around and certainly. Councillor Knack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The West Edmonton Mall Transit Center renewal. I was curious, it doesn't seem like it's in urgent shape. Can we not wait until the LRT comes in and we build it all together at once?
I believe it should have been replaced at least 6-7 years ago. it's not, it's unsightly, it doesn't give it a good presence to it. And we're also holding off from West End and Pombal because they were going to do an expansion that never took place. So I think it needs to be updated.
And that's part of why, because, I mean, my understanding is they're looking at doing an expansion that could impact our design, our layouts. And so I guess I'm curious if you're familiar, if you knew that, or if you know where they're at. Because
yes, we did, and our planning staff are working diligently with West Edmonton Mall.
So other than, I mean, you said it's unsightly, which, I mean, yeah, it's not great. But again, is there structural issues, or is it to improve the overall look?
Let me just have our transportation planner speak to Mr. Sabe. Oh, sorry, Jim.
Yeah, maybe I can speak to that. There is a fair bit of corrosion in there. We went into there earlier this year to try to fix it up, and we ground out the corrosion, repainted it, tried to make it look as presentable as possible, and that fix really didn't last very much at all.
So again, just trying to figure out: are we worried it's going to fall down, or are we? Or are we trying to? I'm trying to see why we can't get five or four more years out of that.
As Mr. Stolte said, we could leave it for another 4 years. It's the appearance of it. It lacks amenities. It's a highly used transit center, and it interfaces right with West Edmonton Mall. There's a tourist attraction.
And you won't, as somebody who worked there for many years, I love it, and I think it's important, but I'm going to make a motion. Are you still on board? Are you seconding it? Okay, I'm going to move. Councillor Oshry is going to second that we delete profile 15-66-3504, the West Edmonton Mall Transit Center renewal for $4.4 million, with funding being released back to the source.
That's seconded by Councillor Oshry. Yeah. Okay, did you have more, or on to the next one? Okay, Councillor Henderson.
I want to start actually first with something that I know that Councillor McKean asked questions about and we got, but I think I'm beginning to understand what's going on here, and I think there's some information missing, and it's about the Jasper Avenue rebuild. And we sort of bumped into this in a conversation that came up around some of the streetscape stuff yesterday. So my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Seabrook, is that this profile that is funded in here is for takes us in this four-year period from 16th, is only half of it, right?
It covers the section from 109 to 116.
116th. And that's what would happen in this capital period. Ultimately, we have to do the whole thing, but we're just talking about the first half at this point.
Correct. We would do the design for the entire project, construction for the first half.
And it's in, I gather, from the conversation we had yesterday, there's no way to delay that. It's in really rough shape, right?
Correct. It was actually identified in the previous budget, however, it was deferred.
So the problem, and Ms. Rosen is unfortunate, because I think this is a glitch that I just realized in our process, is nobody's fault, but there is a matching profile that we do not have on our books that was considered a growth profile that was designed to go with this, that deals with the streetscape piece, and we didn't ask for it because at the time we could have asked for it, we didn't know the renewal profile was in there. So I'm wondering, I guess my question, I know what the number is on the profile, and my understanding is that profile, which is Jasper Avenue Streetscape Improvements 15-17-3107, was planning's ability to do the streetscape piece that went with the renewal piece. And we don't have the profile in front of us. It's part of the problem right now, and I think it would make sense to do the two of them together. I think it's the issue that came up. But I'm wondering if there's a chance right now to be able to get that profile before we make this decision. And I apologize. We should have caught this, but we didn't know that the renewal piece was on the table, right? So we didn't ask for this profile.
That's fine, Councillor Henderson. Yeah. We can provide you with the profile.
Because I think in making the decision what happens with Jasper Avenue, making sure we do it right, because my understanding is that profile deals with the design piece that we would actually be building in the next two or three years, and actually, in terms of Councillor McKean's questions, it actually does all tie together and will allow us to do the whole thing, to spend the next 2 years doing design, because you're not looking to do the build until the final 2 years anyway, right?
Correct.
Okay, so if we could get that information, I don't know, Mr. Mayor, if we need a motion to get that profile at this point.
to get it included in the book, we would need that.
Okay. Well, I would then
unless
move
they
it.
Can give us the answers verbally, but you want to move a motion to
I think it'd be way better to get the profile. I think that's the appropriate way to do it.
Well, there's two ways to do it, too. One would be to fund the complete streets profile and then for that to come out of that profile, and the other would be to specifically do this one.
I think either way it would be useful to get the piece of paper because it's very specific to this project. And
okay.
Then
you want to make a motion?
So I just think to get the paper this, we might as well get it in front of us is what I would recommend. So I would just move the profile 15173107 be added to our budget book. And then when we see that, then we can make decisions based
Seconded by Councillor McKean. Okay.
Okay.
So we need to vote on that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Please vote. So that will be produced as quickly as possible. And display the vote. And that's carried. Councillor Anderson was in the proximity of his chair for that, I guess. Okay.
Now I've lost my time. I can come down for a second round for my next question.
Okay. Yeah, I think there'll definitely be a second round on transportation here. Councillor Walters?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So just a quick question, Mr. Stolte, about the smart bus. So it's $10 million now. I know.
Yes.
And if we do it in 2019, it's 16 because we're not doing it at the same time. We gained some cost savings via doing it with Smart Fare.
That's correct.
Right. And we're gonna have to do it eventually.
Yes.
So
one
this
of those
is
things
just
we need.
Right. Okay. So I just want to clarify that. So if the rest of council hears that 16, if we defer this, it's going to cost us more next time.
Yes.
We have this opportunity now to do it integrated with Smart Fare, and there's a cost saving. So the Heritage Valley, when does our lease expire?
2020.
Okay.
I believe March of 2020.
March of 2020. So, and that was always the plan. We had this five-year and then 5 1-year lease, and so we've had it in our minds at least to begin to think about where we need to go and get ready for Heritage Valley. And so if we did nothing in this budget, which is what was recommended, that these profiles were unfunded, if we did nothing, there would likely be a couple years, and then we dealt with it in the 2019 capital budget, there would likely be a gap of a couple years where we would have no park and ride for the capital line, the south LRT.
Ideally, we'd like to avoid that. We'd be watching it very closely. And
yes. I know we would like to avoid that, but if we don't do anything, it's likely that we're not going to be able to avoid that.
Right. That's a potential.
Okay. Strong potential? Mr. Stolte, you seem like you
want to... Yes, it is.
Yes.
It's critical.
It's critical. Okay, so I'll make a couple motions, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I'll move, and seconded by Councillor Anderson, that we increase the South LRT Heritage Valley Park and Ride profile number 18-66-3514. Since it's unfunded, we increase it by $6,771,000, which is one-third of the profile, to fund Heritage Valley Park and Ride, source pay-as-you-go. And then the second motion, also seconded by Councillor Anderson, the Heritage Valley LRT Park and Ride Land and Design Profile 16-66-7006 increased by $2 million to fund the design of the Heritage Valley Park and Ride. And the funding source is pay-as-you-go. Thank
those
you.
Those are both Councillor Anderson seconded.
Yes.
Okay. Those
thank
are
you.
In the system. Anything else?
Mr. Stolte, you had a question
just
or a comment?
Yes, thank you. Just to keep in mind, there will be operational impacts with this, including capital and budget dollars later on down the road.
And we're going to deal with that when we get to 16-4 as part of this agenda.
Thank you.
Right?
But
thank
those hit when this thing turns on, which is probably in the next cycle.
Yes.
Right?
2020.
Yes, but we'd have to order the buses and prepare probably 2 years ahead.
Right. So it's us getting prepared now in all facets.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Councillor McKean.
Thank you. I'm still confused. Jasper Avenue from 109th to 124th Street. There's a profile, page 328, number 15662011 for an arterial rehabilitation program. First of all, it talks about 9th to 124th, not 9th to 16th. And I understood that was going to be a like-for-like replacement, refurbishment program.
Councilor McKean, we apologize, the description, it does cover 109 to 124, but we have to break it up into two phases. So really, we should have said 109 to 116 and then 116 to 124 in the next cycle. But this is strictly the reconstruction rehabilitation component.
But is the $18.4 million for 9th to 24th or 9th to 16th?
9th to 16th for the construction, and it includes the design for the entire section.
When you say design, you don't mean the kind of design we've seen in the Jasper Avenue New Vision.
It could if there was funding to accommodate that component, but this design basically would be for the reconstruction of this funding source.
Essentially like for like.
Correct.
Yes. Now, this profile that Councillor Henderson has mentioned would be the urban street design for Jasper Avenue and Oliver, I would think. I think that's what we're probably looking at, the missing profile.
Correct.
Okay. So again, the $18 million only goes from 9th to 16th.
Correct.
Okay. Is there any issue with working on Jasper Avenue in Oliver while you're working on Jasper Avenue in the downtown reaches? Or is there an advantage to it?
So I guess the segments that we identified in the first phase are basically kind of what can be accommodated on a year-by-year basis. 109 to 124 would be a very long stretch, and if we were to refer to a similar type of approach on 118 Avenue, it was broken up into multiple segments just because of the size and scope of the project.
In this four-year capital cycle, so the $18 million might cover the design profile that we haven't seen yet. We don't know the value of that. We don't know the cost of that, and get you going.
There would be, if we were to incorporate streetscape elements, there would be integration between the two designs, so you'd certainly have efficiencies in the design.
Okay, because what we don't want to have happen is a like-for-like project. That's, I'd get killed. Yeah, and so would you. Not by me. I'm nonviolent.
Good save, Councilor.
I wanted to go up to Columbia Avenue now, 105th Avenue, where there's been, soon after the election, we were doing public open houses. We have this grand plan for Columbia Avenue. And I just want to be clear where we're at on that project. There is some funding sitting there, and I just want to know what the status of that project is.
So, Councilor McKean, there has been utility relocation work done on the first segment, which is from 116 to 119, I believe. And on that section, then the next phase would be to complete that, and the funding is in place for that. The components, as Mr. Ohm spoke to yesterday, east of 109th Street,
east of 109 or east of 116?
Sorry, east of 109, the actual concept there was developed about 10 years ago, so it needs to be revalidated. Now, the section in the middle, there's a significant drainage project that's taking place in there. So what we are trying to do, given the amount of construction that's happening around 104 Avenue, would be to limit that to the next budget cycle. So in this budget cycle, complete the approved work and then update the concept plan and do design work, so that in the next budget we could move forward on the next stage.
You really couldn't do anything more than 119th to 116th legitimately right now in this cycle anyways?
Correct.
Okay, because the community's been quite concerned that we've been ignoring. Was it held up because of the utilities work? Was it tricky or?
I don't have the specifics. Perhaps Mr. Schepanski could provide more detail on the exact thing, but I know there were a number of complexities in the utility work in that section.
But in this spring, we should be getting to work on the roadway itself.
We would be getting to the actual road construction component.
Right. Okay. I'm out of time. Thank you.
Councillor Esslinger.
Thank you. And I first would like to look at the traffic safety under page 399C. And it's really about to the enforcement. I think it's the capital piece around enforcement. Could you just clarify that for me?
Sorry, what page is that, Councilor?
399C. Because it's self-funded with enforcement revenue, but I just wanted to make sure I understood this.
So this profile covers off a number of components, including the enforcement equipment, but it covers off also engineering equipment as well, or engineering enhancements.
But it's here unfunded because it's sourced through enforcement revenue, is that correct?
That was the intent.
Okay. Then if you go to 399A, a couple pages in front of that, this is for pedestrian and traffic lights, I believe, and it's unfunded. So is this really about pedestrian crossing lights? Is that what we were talking about here?
This does contain the pedestrian crossing lights and all pedestrian safety crossing enhancements in this profile.
So if this isn't funded, we won't have any new pedestrian crossing lights in the next 4 years?
That's right, unless we were able to tie them into a reconstruction project, but any standalones would need to come from this profile.
So how much of this, because this appears to be traffic lights and pedestrian signals, how much would be pedestrian and how much would be traffic lights?
The breakdown is about one-third, two-thirds. About two-thirds is related to pedestrian traffic safety lights and crossings, and the remaining third is really for additional signals that can be either safety or general growth across the city.
Okay, and I guess I was curious why this wouldn't be funded under traffic safety initiatives through the enforcement revenue.
I guess that's what we're saying. It potentially could be, but we haven't, of course, it hasn't been validated yet based on the discussions that we had 2 weeks ago.
So it could be funded through that, but could someone help me understand this?
So, Councillor Esslinger, given the discussion that you've had with respect to redirecting traffic enforcement revenue into a reserve, this is, as you will recall, in terms of the information you asked us to bring back, one of the kinds of initiatives that could be funded out of that reserve. And so once the reserve is created, then one could actually look at funding this out of that reserve.
So, for today's purposes, capital budget, do we need to earmark something to go under that reserve? But we haven't had that final conversation yet, so just help me with process.
So I think that what you might want to actually do is subject to confirmation. Like, I really do believe that you can signal that you want this funded through photo enforcement revenue, if available. And the advantage to having a reserve is that you can actually capture the ups and downs with respect to the revenue. And so if you have a base amount allocated to other things, then you don't know at this point in time how much you would actually have available for capital.
So your recommendation is to...
I would actually...
Motion on the floor to signal them?
Yes.
Okay, and I'll do that next round then. Thank you.
That would be an amendment to funding source, really, to say, to give it an eligibility, and then you guys would do something with it?
Or? So I think that what I would be recommending is that it actually be funded from photo enforcement revenue. And then you have to make a determination when you actually have the reserve discussion as to whether or not there's going to be photo enforcement revenue available for that purpose.
So this
maybe this, you know, there's a chicken and egg kind of.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, this is, if we do too many of these, then
you're going to get a whole list of people putting from a revenue stream that doesn't exist yet.
Well, or you can't vote on this budget until.
You might want to put something in the bank before you start taking out.
So there is funding that will be available through that reserve. I mean, the reserve is a way to manage the money.
But the reserve hasn't been established
yet. Exactly.
So
but the money,
to make that
but the money is actually available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mayor Iveson over here. The way the profile is currently written. A third of the program is potentially funded out of pay-as-you-go, the remainder out of the reserve. And it's also a question of balance and, you know, whether there would be a portion of it put forward as just the pay-as-you-go at this time, and then the other could be parked relative to the decision on the reserve.
Well, this is one of those where the two budgets talk to each other, and we'd have to conclude the discussions on the operating budget and then know that there was an opportunity to move something back over, which would free up some money, which would maybe be available in a supplemental as well. So this wouldn't even have to happen in this budget. So
I'm wondering, Mayor Iveson, if this is one of those rare exceptions where you actually say that you'd like to deal with this after you actually deal with the operating discussion around the reserve.
I'm just anticipating the different form the motions could take so that we could get to it. The chicken and the egg can happen in January on this one as well. That's all I'm saying. It's a different option once we know what the chicken looks like. And how fast it goes, and which road it crosses, and how it's signalized. Councillor Oshry, no, you've had a round. Have you had a round? No, you haven't had a round on this one, Councillor Oshry.
Thank you. High Level Bridge, page 398. So just to be clear, refresh my memory, this $3 million unfunded package is for the, not the cheap version, not the fancy, but the middle version, correct, of the three? The middle option?
Correct.
Okay, unfunded, okay. All right, so I think something's coming down the road for that. Changing the West Edmonton Mall Transit Center. The LRT is coming in who knows when, but if you 8 years. Yeah, 8 years, that's right. 8 years or less. So when the LRT gets there, this new bill that you're proposing to build is then thrown out and we're starting again. Is that correct? Or is there some piece of that you're going to be reusing? Because it's on different levels, is it not?
Yes. If it's still there by this time, yeah, we'll have to take it out.
Okay. And so there's nothing you're going to be using from this redo?
No, nothing at all. But what we might end up doing is putting the temporary shelters there like we did at Jasper Place until we're able to put a band-aid on it, keep it going.
And so I was going to ask, is there some sort of stage option of this redo that you're proposing that we could do that will be less for an 8-year window?
Just 1%, Jim.
Page 261, if anybody's interested.
Yeah, I guess with the west leg of the Valley Line, we're not really sure when that will be here. So this structure could last a long time. But in terms of phasing, there are a lot of options that we can look at. We have discussed with the LRT DNC as to how it would fit in with their design, and they're not far enough ahead to really know. But there are options to put in a temporary structure or to phase it so that a portion of it doesn't have to be thrown away with the Valley Line.
Well, if it's on different levels, that wouldn't be that way. You just rebuild less and then tear less down. Then,
yeah, and there'll be a vertical connection, though, and so there could be a portion that would remain with the Valley Line upper portion.
And what I was thinking about putting there would be a modular unit that could be transported to other locations as we require them.
Okay. Page 266, which is the transit fare collection renewal. So how does this affect, well, how would the smart card stuff affect this? So how urgent is this? I mean, I know it's only in city talk only 500,000, but
no, it's what this is the EVM machines that send all the tickets and the passes to the LRT stations, and that's just keeping that software up and running and maintain it.
So is this thrown out once the new smart card?
No, it won't be.
Something that we're going to need ongoing?
Yes, that's what we did with the university when we tested this original smart card project. We used those TVM to be able to set them up to make them work.
Okay, thank you. Page 294, Groat Road. I'll have time for this one. So is there an urgency? No, that's a subjective word, but is there an urgency, or is this something you've been looking at doing for a while? I don't know the history here, so give me a quick education.
So
Councilor Autry, this is the bridge replacement. So it is based on condition assessments and prioritization in our bridge rehabilitation program. So it is something that's in need of doing, definitely, in terms of both maintaining the integrity of the structure as well as maintaining the safety of the crossing.
So this is not the north side of the bridge interchanges?
No.
That's something else? I'm wrong there?
This is the bridge itself.
Okay. So not the north side road.
It's not the road, it's the bridge.
Okay, yeah. All right, good. I was wrong then. I hope nobody's listening. Road. Okay, so the traffic safety one, 399E. So is this something, which is, I know is unfunded, but is this something that would address, the money could be used for shortcutting mitigation initiatives?
So this profile does cover a number of different initiatives, and engineering enhancements being one of them, which does include options for shortcutting and speed management.
Okay, and so if this is currently unfunded, so if this remains unfunded, what are our options for spending money on that?
Councillor Asher, that would be the same as Councillor Essinger's question about this could be one of the things funded out of the reserve that could be subsequent council discussions.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Councillor Nicol.
Thank you very much. Okay, first of all, I will make a couple of budget amendments. Profile as per Councillor Sohi's discussion, so this is how it reads. Profile 1566-2414, 50th Street Bridge Overpass, number 25.086, be decreased for a total amount of 22.086. And then, not thinking that that money's not going to go someplace, that the capital profile named White Mud 66 to 34th Street, widening 15-66-2212, increased by 20.8 million to fund the widening of the White Mud Drive. That's an increase in use of MSI. That's what Councillor Sohi has written down here. So we'll put that out there. Got that, number one. And I just have a very, very simple question, and it's about, we have bike lanes, and we talk about putting bike lanes where they're going to be used, as opposed to bike lanes where maybe they aren't used so much, or the community feels that they need to be readjusted. So my question is where would I find that money for bike lane removal or relocation? Or would we have to create a special profile for that?
Councillor Nicol, we currently don't have a profile or description of that. If I had to give you some advice on where you would think about adjusting or revisiting bike lanes that are constructed, probably somewhere in an active transportation-related profile.
Okay, I was discussing this a little bit with Councillor Walters. Councillor Walters, right? And I guess you said the mayor has an amendment coming forward with regards, since he's not in the chair, I'd ask him, right? So an amendment coming forward with regards to providing a flexible sort of fund. Well, that's what I stand is going to come forward. If that, failing that, then what I would have to make a motion to, or could you provide me a profile for to do that?
We could provide some recommended language on how to revisit or adjust bike lanes, something like that.
Okay. Then I will think about how...
Councillor Nicol, I'm just wondering...
give me your best guess.
Now, there's obviously a range of...
From options.
...painted lines, which to remove is pretty minimal, to something that is a completely separate lane and has been built as a separate entity. Obviously, if there was a decision of council to remove that, there would be a capital cost associated with that. But it would almost be, you know, aligned to a project like you have any other project. But if it's simply, you know, we remove signage, we do other configurations, we do a bunch of stuff on an annualized basis. So,
so let's just say
if it was $50,000 or something, we'd probably find a way to figure it out if council said do it.
So to reiterate back what I've just heard is that if, because I,
It's well known that I have a petition from constituents on 97th Street that want their lanes removed, right? So I would bring that as a motion to council then, and we'd probably handle that internally.
You would be better off to be site-specific around that rather than creating an independent reserve to deal with.
Okay.
That's probably the best way.
Well, that suits me fine, as long as we're aware. Thank you.
So, Councillor Nicol, I want to just add over here. If you're looking to something to reconfigure an existing bike lane, the active transportation program would do that. That's on page 435 of the...
Yeah, I have that. I have that big... but it's also for lots of stuff. It's an unfunded $65 million package. And I'm just talking about one bike lane. Right.
Yeah, in terms of what, like a single location, depending on the cost, the city manager is correct, it could possibly be done as an operating expense, depending on the magnitude.
Okay. And, well, what is magnitude for the city manager?
Well, I generally discourage staff from approaching with requests to council for things less than $100,000.
Okay. Thank you very much. Informative as always.
Mr. Mayor, okay. We did not have a seconder for Councillor Nicker's.
That was going to be Councillor Sohi, if he sure is going to wave his hand.
Okay. So there were two motions, and it's for both? Okay. Just to confirm that, thank you. Those are in the hopper then. Next up, Councillor Henderson, you've gone already, right? Who on the board has not? Councillor Anderson has not, and Councillor Gibbons has not. Councillor Gibbons is in the queue next.
So, a couple questions that I've asked through the capital budget question, and I'm not getting the answers that maybe I'm not saying I want, but I want better answers. On the Orem Road, do we have anything on design, anything on moving forward with that road, considering the Anthony Handy is going to be completed in the next couple of years and that road should be connected?
Councillor Gibbons, I met with a developer just 2 weeks ago to talk about Orem Road. They recognize that it's part of their development requirements and have acknowledged that and are prepared to build it when they come forward with their development.
But they only, if you're talking the focus group, they've only got a little piece of that. There's a whole other chunk that's ours, the city.
Correct. It's still part of the development responsibility. It is in the ARA basin. In other words, it can be recovered through the developers. Alternatively, if the city wanted to fund it, then it could be advanced through the city dollars and recovered ultimately through ARA, but it would take some time.
We get something back from Kiewit on this one? I'm only getting a remark out of you. Okay. So, but I still think it's very important to think about, we've got 2 years to go, and it would be, we look pretty bad on 66th Street. Let's not look bad on the Orem Road, please. Thank you. The next one is probably Mr. Stolte. An answer I got back on what are we doing with the current planning for park and ride at the Gorman LRT site. And that is around the fact that it says here the plan shows a 1,000 stall park and ride at a future Gorman LRT station. However, the land has not been secured, but the land has been secured by Hopewell out of Calgary, and I've talked to them, and the planning's going to come this year, and there again, we're going to be 2 years before the opening of the Anthony Handy. And what better place to have a park and ride and bus people down to Clairview from there?
We'll get you some more information on that.
And if you need introductions to the developers or whatever, I don't know who you are, so.
Not all of you have met. I think Adam Holmes is the new branch manager, and Brian Lotta's successor in transportation planning.
Okay, so good for us to know that. Okay, so I will work with you on that, but you know what? Planning into that area would be very important as they're moving through with the design right now. Can't get the LRT for a while because everybody else wants it, but we can have park and ride.
Councillor, we'll follow up with the developer offline and have a plan together.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Anderson. Anderson? Anderson.
Councilor,
you haven't had one.
Anderson,
yet,
Anderson.
Anderson.
I think they're calling me all the time.
Bri, go ahead.
Mr. Stolte, and maybe my question should rightly go to somebody else. Westwood Grudge, you build a big building, and a piece of it, a room or a room with an outdoor playground, might be considered as a daycare. Have we thought about talking to organizations that deal in daycare that are quite able to build their own building, do curb, gutter, streets, lights, utilities, and capable of spending that kind of money? What are the idiosyncrasies about talking to an organization, asking them to consider building either attached, but providing the capital to provide a daycare, as opposed to leasing from you?
Well, we looked at it from two aspects after your comments at TIC the other day. Number one was we looked at it on a return on investment. So after 12 years, the corporation will be making profit from it. Number two was we went back and we had staff check with, I think it was 6 to 8 different daycares to see if there was a waiting list in that whole area. And yes, there are waiting lists going on there. So we have the capital and we have control of the building, then we can only put so much on that footprint. And that's why we cut it back by a few buses. So that space is there.
Councillor Anderson, those are some of the complexities that we want to come back in April with. Are we in a lease model or a partnership model? Those are things that we really do need to explore to their fullest.
I mean, where I'm going is that I know I've already talked to daycare groups about other circumstances where they're prepared to put in significant capital dollars, but I don't know if they can build on a piece of city land or build adjacent to an existing transit garage and provide the capital. But at a minimum, I think that you've got companies that would fight over fitting out the entire I want to give you a couple of names.
Please
do. Phone somebody and say, are you interested?
We will.
I think there's an alternative to us providing the capital.
Okay. Turn off your mic.
Thanks.
I went through. You, Councillor, has everyone had a round? Oh, I guess I'm up. Councillor Essinger, if you could take the chair.
As the chair.
So I asked a written question that I did not get an answer to, which was how do we advance the mode shift piece? We even updated the language. I thought we were finally clear on this. How did it come to be that there was $0 in the active transportation fund, which funds not only some bike infrastructure, but shared use pathways, curb cuts for folks with disabilities? It's a pretty big composite. Maybe difficult to find $60 million, but I need to understand what the thinking was that thought that zero would be acceptable. Did you just want to make us work for it?
No, Mayor. I think that you're right. It's a $65 million profile in its entirety. 70% of that in that entire profile is dedicated to sidewalks and shared use paths, that sort of thing. The rest goes into, like I said, curb cuts smaller down. But really what we're looking at is the significant investment the city's making in the LRT is going to make a significant impact on ridership and mode shift, especially on the journey to work. While we put the capital budget together, we were all balancing scarce resources. The $65 million profile, quite frankly, is about the same scale as the Milner Library. So we looked at this in terms of what are we making in investments around multimodal travel, getting people to and from work, which are some of Council's priorities. We looked at the significant investment in renewal on the roadside, and the capital budget we tabled is represented that balance.
Well, I'm going to move that we fund the active transportation profile to the tune of $20 million, which is one-third. There was a helpful answer in the book, which was, and that was a more helpful answer than the non-answer that was in the book, that what we would get from funding it to one-third level, which, given the constraints that we under, I think is reasonable. It does create a sort of, well, now I'm speaking to it. So I'll just move that we fund it to the tune of $20 million from pay-as-you-go.
And do you have a seconder?
Councillor Walters was going to second it. So.
Okay.
So that's out there. The next question I had was the development industry came in a bit of a lather about the to the public hearing about the absence of investment in roadways. Notwithstanding our significant investment in renewal, because we're not doing a Quinnell Bridge or a 23rd Avenue interchange, that does look like the dollars are lower in this cycle than in the last 10 years. They had that comparison chart. I'm not sure if you saw that. But surely some of the roads category is the contributed assets that they actually build. Is that part of that bar graph?
I don't believe the city's contributed assets are part of the profile, the blue-red graph we showed it.
Because they're building out a lot of roads right now.
That's true.
And they're building the first two lanes of some things, and then when the next neighborhood comes, they build another two lanes. And I thought we kind of had this under control, except when it came to interchanges. And obviously, you know, Manning is one discussion, but, you know, there's a lot of roads being built by the industry, and then those get contributed to the city.
So Mayor Arveson, the bar graph that developers provided does not include contributed assets. They pulled the 404 to 14 numbers out of the city's document that described city investment and city capital expenditures.
So we could track the contributed assets dimension of that over that period of time from their side and the projected growth that they will contribute over the next few years, because there's quite a bit. I mean, there's a lot of roads being built.
Yes, we do track the value of the contributed assets on an annual basis. Well, I know transportation certainly does, and drainage, so that number could be provided.
Now, where I have a little more sympathy is that whether it's the Manning Freeway or whether it's some of the other interchanges that are going to be needed over time, that we don't have a funding solution right that. They're very nervous that we're going to come back to them and ask them to pay for 100% of the cost of that, which I don't think is reasonable. But short of some kind of regional contribution, because those are regionally relevant facilities, sort of some federal contribution through the National Building Canada Fund, short of all of these things, we've all got a big problem, the industry and the rest of us, in terms of figuring out how we're going to fund these things. It's like LRT. You can't build LRT without a whole bunch of partners. It's pretty tough to build interchanges without a whole bunch of partners.
So the capital budget is reflective of the financial model that we currently have. And it does speak, you know, there's part of the MGA is a discussion on the whole off-site levies, and there's a huge range of opinion around that. The city charter speaks to the interrelationship in terms of the, you know, our 8 cents on the dollars and 65% of service delivery. But this capital budget has to reflect the resources that the city currently has at its disposal, and it can't speculate on resources that we may or may not get in the future.
Yeah, that's I think we agree. I think we're coming at the point differently, but I think we agree. Anyway, I'm out of time, so I'll take the chair back.
Turn the chair.
Before I do, sorry, I'll move second round. Just got to get in the habit of that. Seconded by
Councilor Nickel, I heard. Okay. And please vote. And display the vote. And that's carried.
Okay.
I'll return the chair.
Thank you. Councillor Henderson.
Yeah,
so Henderson.
I wanted to go back and ask the other half of the questions that I asked yesterday of the planning folk around the 109th Street streetscape improvements. So you were going to do some checking up on me to see if anything was imminent, and I think the answer is no, right?
Correct.
Okay, well then I think at this point I want to put a motion on the table. I spoke to her yesterday, I'll speak to her later, but I just that the one is, so this goes back to yesterday, because it's not in this package, but it is part of the northern part of 109th Street, which we promised to do in 1982. 109th Street, streetscape improvements, 15-17-3-103, increased by 5,702,000. It's on page 230, from available funds, unallocated available funds. It does the bit of the profile that is actually showing up in this capital period. So, and Councillor Knack is going to second that. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. On page 270, so other questions? Now, on page 270, well, actually, I'm going to ask another quick question about Garner while I'm there. It has been moved backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards in terms of where it sits in the order for the neighborhood renewal. It's the only, and it's not showing up in here, it's the only neighborhood that I know that it's in really serious trouble that doesn't show up in this, that I'm aware of. And I'm just wondering if we have any idea where it sits, because it actually might also be part of the thinking around this piece.
Councillor Henderson, I don't have the details on that, but we can certainly provide that to you.
It would be useful. I'm guessing it's just 1 year after this, but it would be nice to know that, because we've had them in this period, and out of this period, and in this period, and out of this period, and everything else is answered in here of the ones that I've been concerned about. So I would like, if I could get that answer, that'd be great. On page 270, the LRT escalators, and Lord knows I know they need doing, but I'm going back in my mind to sort of 4 or 5 years ago when I thought we actually put a fair amount of money in for some of the escalators that are now showing back up on this profile. So my memory is we put a lot of money into the Corona station and the Bay station.
These are additional escalators that have been there for quite some time.
So did we replace the other ones though? Because I remember we had a debate.
This catches us up to the replacement. What we have to get into now is the preventive maintenance. So these have not been done before.
Maybe I could clarify.
Yeah.
We replaced Churchill escalators, and those are the only ones that we've replaced.
But this is what's puzzling me, because I remember having a debate, and I thought we approved a profile for Corona and the Bay about 5 or 6 years ago.
No, all we've done previously was to do a study to see what options were available to us, and we used the Bay as a model.
Okay, I'm remembering a huge figure at that point, which caught us all by surprise. But maybe it was just a report. Okay, I'm just curious because I thought we'd approved them ages ago, because I remember it was fairly contentious at the time. And I guess this is a larger question about we've done that one, but a larger question about the complete streets, because I know we have Connors Road in here as an arterial. It's the one I'm recognizing that I'm guessing is a like-for-like right now. But, I mean, we asked about Jasper Avenue. Is there any intention on the Connors Road piece of doing any streetscape improvements, doing any kind of complete street work, or would we need a complete street package to do that?
Councillor Henderson, this is the reconstruction component only, so it's like-for-like.
So it's like-for-like, and, you know, I'm just thinking with the LRT going through there, we need to understand what's going on in there, and if we do like-for-like, we're going to be dealing, there's an entire design piece, because the LRT, I mean, this is the road we're leaving in place, and we just need to understand how that goes together. So we need the complete streets. Now, what else is in here on some of these arterial road pieces? When in the composite that's unfunded on the complete streets, where does that number come from in terms of how it, because I know we had this conversation about needing to match up and making sure we had the right resources to go with the work we're going to do in the next 4 years. So does this complete streets package give us that lineup or not?
The complete streets package is kind of based on just a little bit less than 5% of the rehabilitation projects, and then we would focus on all the high priority ones within those rehabs, so that's arterial and neighborhood. And I just want to be clear too, the complete streets isn't meant to do like a real upscale streetscapes.
Which is why we would have a separate profile for the Jasper Avenue piece, for instance. But it would allow us to look at something like Connors Road and make sure that we weren't missing an opportunity.
That's correct.
Okay, and it would do that. So would there be enough to do that with all the profiles that are going to demand it? I mean, it's hard for us to know. We only know the ones that we're aware of.
It is difficult because a big key part of it is the engagement with the citizens, and they play a part on what the end product's going to be.
I'm out of time. Thanks.
Councillor Caterina.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the Yellowhead page 426, you've got profile background. Can you quickly give me the breakdown of 1, 2, and 3, removal of existing signals at Yellowhead and 89th, road work, re-road work at 66th and Yellowhead, and the implementation of the ITS system along that corridor. Just could you break that down into what each one is worth? And while you're doing that, Yellowhead Trail, 50th Street and Victoria Trail, six-lane widening. Can you give me a cost of what that particular item by itself is worth?
We can get you that information. For the breakdown of the Yellowheads for each section of the Stage 1, we'll come back with that information for you, and also for the, it's not in the book, but also for the Yellowhead and Fox.
Okay, when are you coming back?
Councilor Wilson. We'll get that information to you by Friday.
Okay, all right. Friday would be fine, because I am going to move something out of that, whether it's all of it or part of it, but I need to know the numbers on it. Mr. Wamsura, going back to the bike routes or the bike infrastructure in that, you still have 119th Avenue from 106th to 79th listed as part of, is that correct?
Which page number you got, Councillor?
You said 435, but I don't see it on there as active transportation. I see all kinds of things, but it doesn't have bike lanes listed in that profile, so I don't know what you were talking about.
Councillor, you're referring to 119th Street? I'm just looking for the right same
119th
place.
Avenue. From 106th Street to 79th Street.
And where do you see that in the book? I'm just trying to find this and get us on the same profile page.
Good question. If your reference was the 435, it's still listed on. So is that the active transportation page, not where you have
435 is the active transportation page? Yes, and that's where bicycle lanes and bicycle infrastructure has been funded from.
Okay, so. You're not aware if you still have 119th Avenue on your preferred or on your next phase?
Currently, we're...
All we talked about was University and downtown, and then this shows up again in the material, and I don't know if that's part of the priority that you're setting or not.
Currently, the active transportation profile is subject to the mayor's motion, and our current focus on bike lanes is really where the bike dense neighborhoods are, 83rd Street, 102 Avenue. That's really where we want to be. We want to go there first.
So, Councillor Caterina, over here, sorry. Oh. Perhaps what I can suggest we will do is the mayor provided a motion to fund $20 million in active modes. We'll work with the department to provide a breakdown of what projects are included in that $20 million.
Okay, and if you couldn't, while you're doing that, if that is one of the routes that you still think is appropriate, going through the berm and across 97th Street, maybe just move north two blocks, where you have unfeathered access right through.
Yeah, thank you for
okay,
that.
Okay, so I'll wait for that information. Thank you.
Councillor McKean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just going to make a couple of amendments. This one has Councillor Knack as the seconder, and that is the capital profile 102 Avenue Bike Way, 16662614, be funded at $8,779,000. And that is to fund the bike way from 96 to 136 from pay-as-you-go.
And the page is 429.
Thank you. And the other one is this is I'd like to say co-sponsored, but I'll make, move the amendment, and Councillor Oshry is seconding this. The capital profile name is High Level Bridge Rail, 1566-2418, $3 million to fund the High Level Bridge Safety Rail from pay-as-you-go. Thank you.
Thank you. Glad that one's in the queue. Councillor Knack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A few more questions on complete streets. So, again, pretend I'm stupid for a moment. And, you know, I know the policy, and I know it's been passed. Just pretend in this case. We want to do complete street enhancements to actually help how we do, say, maintenance. So give me an example. So an example being, if we go into a spot, would complete streets let us move a curb line sidewalk to be more, to develop a boulevard before the sidewalk? Like, what's the intent of complete streets?
That's correct.
That's the example, which actually saves us in other areas to provide better, you know, in this case of maybe snow maintenance, so you can push the snow up onto the boulevard instead of up onto a sidewalk and have to deal with that. That's why we would want complete streets.
That's correct.
I mean, there's lots of other stuff too in there, but that's one of the main ideas, to develop better, because we have, you know, 60% of our curb line, or our sidewalks in the city of Edmonton are curb line, which has caused the challenges that we face when it comes to snow. So not having any money allows us to never get ahead of that, to try and address it when we go in. So this could actually be a cost savings down the road.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah. Or not, but I think there's a chance. So I will move that, and this is seconded by Councillor Henderson, that we increase capital profile complete streets enhancements number CM669003, increased by $10,949,000 to fund the full profile. And I believe that was through MSI, was in the initial funded package, so an increase in the use of MSI.
Well, there isn't any MSI available.
Okay, so then I guess,
unless some got removed.
No, that's fair. So what would be a more...
Well, pay-as-you-go is the only... that's the placeholder.
Okay.
Going to need another rabbit. Councillor Esslinger.
Thank you. I would like to move that the administration bring a report on options for funding capital profile traffic signals pedestrian vehicle safety CM662520, including the potential to fund it from a photo enforcement reserve if such a reserve is established.
Second. Okay, that we can vote on, because that's a report to...
Mr. Mayor, could we just confirm the seconder on that motion?
Councillor Loken.
Thank you.
Mrs. and Mr. Traffic Safety. Please to vote. Please to vote now, please. And display the vote.
You're the only one that has a ball.
And that's carried. So that will come back in February. Councillor Sohi.
Okay, there are two profiles related to arterial renewal, one on page 386, right, and one on 402, which is previously approved. 402 has 61 million, or 62, right? Can you explain me 402 first? Is that the money not spent yet, even though some of the money is from 2000 and from prior years? So we're here. Yeah.
Officer Sohi, that the one on 402 is the previous one for prior years.
So
and there's some carry forward that will move into next year.
So how much is carry forward on this, out of this?
Well, we're projecting 7.85 worth of work in 2015, and there may be an additional amount of carry forward once we do the year-end reporting.
Okay, so that is on top of what is identified in the on page 386.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we are looking at about in the range of 40 to 43 million over the next 4 years each year.
Plus the standalones, there are some single reconstruction arterial projects as well that are in the binder. The total is $55 million per year that's been programmed.
Okay, so that's embedded in the total program.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure that we are putting that $55 million that we have identified into maintaining arterial roads. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Essinger is still on the board from before, I think. Somehow. Councillor Gibbons.
One item triggered to back on this under capital profile report under active transportation. It's under walkability, sidewalks and so on. In my Miller area over to the Clearview LRT, there is nothing but cow paths and no sidewalks along the Manning to get over there. How do I move this profile forward?
Councillor Givens, the mayor moved a motion to fund, to partially fund that profile by $20 million.
Yeah.
That active transportation is intended to fund sidewalk links. It does about 70% of that money currently funds sidewalks and shared use paths. You may want to give consideration to scaling down one or some dimensions of that profile.
So is that an ask through GPW?
Well, where we actually sit today is that the motions are all on the table, but no motion has actually been passed yet. So currently there is $60 million sitting in there to do this kind of work. If you believe that there's a direction around the unfunded, but if you believe that you want to identify that piece of work and be very specific about it, then you just identify it.
Through an ask through the department, or I'm asking now because it's just, the fact is that $20 million hasn't been passed, like you say. There's a $65 million here, and I just get another email saying, you know, what's happened.
So what they'll do is they can give you a bit of a sense that if $20 million was passed, whether that particular project would be above the line or below the line. At least then you'd have a sense about that.
Or Councillor Gibbons, if they can actually identify the cost associated with that particular piece, you could make a motion on that piece.
They haven't got that far. They've met with the community, met with the people that are whatever. It's a matter of getting sidewalks to the LRT. People, you know, the fact is they walk a half a mile or they take a bus that takes them 3/4 an hour. So
it is one of our priority locations.
Okay. I'll work with, your name again is?
Adam.
Okay, I'll work with you.
We'll get a sign up next time he's...
Welcome aboard, Mr. Holmes. Councillor Henderson, you have a motion, right?
I have
Otherwise
a motion.
I'd need another round, but you have
yeah,
a motion.
Yeah, no, I have a motion, just because I'm realizing we're done today, and just so we have a heads up on it, we will get this profile before we vote, but I wanted to, the one that I asked for earlier, I got the dollar figure, so it's... motion by me, seconded by Councillor McKean, the Jasper Avenue Streetscape Improvements, Oliver. The profile number is 15-17-3107, $8,748,000. Pay as you go, I guess. Let's put it in for now.
And that may be for the whole distance to 124th, not just the
no,
first
apparently not. It's about 1.2 per block. We'll get the profile tomorrow. We can ask questions better on Monday.
Okay. That'll be an interesting discussion.
I just thought it was fair to get the
motion. No, it's good. It's
well,
good
we
to
can
get
adjust
it, out
it
there.
Later,
it's
but
good to get it out
I think it was better to get it on today than have it catch yep. everybody by surprise on Monday.
Yep. Councillor Oshry, you got a motion? Okay.
Page 60, to the capital profile name, Alescu Park Development. Number 15-28-1600, increased by $4.44 million to fund the capital development plan for the Leskie lands. Seconded by Mr. Knack. We're buddies today.
Just today, though. We'll see what next week is like.
I said today.
Thick as thieves, you two. Okay. Anything else? Just that one? Councillor Katerina, clarification?
Mr. Latta, you're going to have that information on Yellowhead, all the breakdown tomorrow, right? I just want to confirm that.
Yeah.
Friday we'll have that for you.
Yes, we will.
It's tomorrow, Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so we're talking about the same date.
Yes. Tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow. All right, thank you.
But we're not meeting on budget tomorrow. We're meeting again on Monday. Councillor Knack?
Just to clarify, this is sort of the speak narrow forever hold your peace on the motions side?
No. I think realistically we've asked for some supplemental information, all of which we will have by Monday. And so with that information in hand, there may be some more motions or some changes to some motions that we can accept some friendly updates to some motions at that time. But if you have one ready, it couldn't hurt to put it out there right now just so we know what's cooking.
Just so we can get it added to the list.
Okay, sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll do one more. I'll need it, and we'll see. So that capital profile, mature area land acquisition, number CM17-1002, increased by... I put a number.
Actually, that profile doesn't actually exist in the book. So first I would need you to move it, because that was handed out. We didn't add it because... No, that one wasn't included, because the direction previously was just to provide it as information, not to add it to the book. So strictly speaking, we now need a motion to actually add this profile to the book for consideration. So someone would need to move that. That's why it doesn't have a page number. So someone want to move to add it?
Yeah.
Councillor Henderson has moved to add it. Councillor McKean has seconded it. Please vote to add CM17-1002 to the book. And display the vote, and that's carried. Now, what page number will that be now that it's in the book?
Mr. Mayor, I believe it would be 237C.
237C. So everybody put it in their book as 237C.
A would be the one that Councillor Henderson added earlier.
238? Okay.
No, 237. 237, A.
So that A.
And then this one is 237C.
So C and D. Yeah. D on the back side. Okay, now that it's in the book, now you can make a motion related to it, Councillor Knack.
Sure. That profile again increased by, I put a number of $5 million to fund the purchase of park space in mature communities that have ARPs already created.
Sorry, and what was the amount?
I said $5
million. Okay. And your seconder was?
I don't know.
Councillor?
Oh, sure. I just thought.
Councillor Henderson?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and Councillor Sohi, did you have another one?
No, I just need some clarification.
Sure.
When we come back on Monday, related to Mayor's motion on evening out the impact of debt, would we know, for example, in 2015, 2016, this is how much the debt servicing cost is going to be, but this is how much money, because of that evening out, is freed up for pay-as-you-go.
For every project.
Okay. All right. Just one.
And we'll also share with you what the tax increase is.
And they're going to model the incremental impact of taking out the EOC, because that's a pending motion, putting in the white mud as fully, because that's a pending motion, and shifting Milner, because that's a pending motion. So we can plug and play whatever council wound up with on that.
So it will, whatever you do will be based on if all the borrowing is done based on these motions?
Yes.
Okay.
To and including with the showing what would happen if some of them don't go ahead, though.
Okay.
So you'd be able to know where what the delta.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so just to clarify, we will these deliberations will continue on Monday. There'll be a bit of supplemental information. There'll probably be an additional presentation from administration on that smoothing and anything else that's occurred to them over the weekend. Some additional material for the binder. Then there'll be an opportunity to submit any further amendments at that point. And then once those are all in, then we'll actually begin debating amendments in the order in which they were submitted at that time. Unless we wish to change the order, we can consider whether we want to bring some forward that create space, for example, or we can just go at them in the order and see where we wind up in the end. So,
Mr. Mayor, sorry, if I could just remind you, there are a number of reports, 5.4 and 10, 16.4 and 10.2 that relate to transportation matters. You can deal with them on Monday or you can deal with them now.
Yeah, so this was our opportunity to ask questions on those reports, strictly speaking. I don't know if there are, then what we may need to do is review those, and there may still be questions on those specifically. So we may need transportation back first thing Monday then to deal with those reports. Sounds like not everybody's ready to vote on those necessarily. So okay, so then we may still have some discussion on those reports. You can leave your stuff here over the weekend if you want on your desk. No one else is going to be in here. Just one caution, the fire graduation ceremony, which Councillor Walters has popped out to on my behalf, is occurring right behind us right now. So maybe head out the top way or out the far sides and up the side stairwells, just so we don't disrupt the landing out there on the mezzanine level. So are there any further questions on process? You can leave your stuff here. Yeah. So you have one more shot to put in new motions on Monday. I don't know if I need it, but maybe a motion to recess until Monday because we're a little bit ahead. Sure.
Second.
You moved it, Councillor Anderson. Seconded by Councillor Knack. Please vote. Display the vote. That's carried. Okay, we'll see you Monday.
No, both are not.